Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
All right, let's do it.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Friday feels good. Mm-hmm. A lot to get to today. A lot of fun to have today. Where do you want to start, David?
We'll start here. One, the House of Representatives unanimously voted to declassify some of the documents related to the origins of COVID-19.
Okay, they can follow polls. That's good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's good. I job. Mean, that is wild. It heads to Joe Biden's desk for signature, setting up a potential showdown on Capitol Hill.
Why wouldn't he want it to come out?
Oh, well, because the checks haven't all cleared from the Communist Party. No, I don't know. I think it's very interesting. But whenever there's something unanimous, I get a little bit worried about what else is up.
I really do, man. And I know we can get really cynical. I think it's, hey, people can read polls because the American people say, yes, we should know this stuff. And people do want to get reelected. You don't want that held against you at some mm-hmm. point in time in a future yeah. election. So, I mean, it should be unanimous. We should want to know how this thing started.
Yes.
So, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And, of course, an update from what was talked about earlier in the week from the former CDC director, Robert Redfield, said, I was shut out of these conversations when Anthony Fauci and Francis Collins from the NIH, they didn't want me involved, even though I was the CDC director, about the origins.
What he said.
Yeah.
And now Fauci says what?
He said, well, no, I didn't have anything to do with that. And Robert Redfield's belief is that he was shut out of that early 2020 conversation because he thought it came out of that lab. So yeah. Dr. Anthony Fauci, he was asked about it on Fox News. He says, hey, I never blocked anyone from this call, and he didn't even put that one big meeting together. Neil Cavuto followed up like this.
Okay.
Did you decide to be in that call, or did these other virologists?
Neil, I just said it. I didn't have anything to do about the decision who would be on the call.
You didn't know going into the call that the CDC director would not be part of that call. Do you think he should have been?
Well, I mean, retrospectively, it would have been okay to have him on the call, of course, but I didn't put him or take him off. And it's really disturbing that in a public hearing of a congressional hearing, he makes an accusatory statement that has no basis whatsoever in reality. But another point, Neil, that's important.
Okay, no. How many times have you said crap like that?
Yeah.
It's follow the emails. That's all you have to do to know what the real truth is here.
He said in his own mind that he was kept out because he was of the opinion that this might be a lab leak. Half the people on the call were of the opinion that it might be a lab leak. So his rationale of why he thought he was excluded is an invalid rationale. So it's really unfortunate that he made those statements. He's a good guy.
Hold on. If half the people on the call thought it was a lab leak, mm-hmm. then why did you squash everyone's opinion and put out, you know, a whole report saying that it was a conspiracy theory?
Yeah, I like that. That's a very interesting filter that he just ran that through. Because, yeah, a lot of the people, I'll just use his percentage, half the people on the call believed it came out of that lab. And based on other emails that have been released and based on other testimony that we've heard, it sounded like half those people thought it might be the lab leak, and their reaction was, oh, crap, how do we cover this up?
Yes.
So that's not actually trying to get to the bottom of the truth of what happened. It was like, oh, my gosh, okay, we got to figure something out here.
Half of them, by the way, thought that, and then he threatened to pull the funding, and then they all thought it was, oh, it's just bats.
Yeah,
I mean, come on, man.
You look at the timeline of the funding of some of these guys. Of course.
Stop. He made those statements. He's a good guy. I've known him for years. Uh-huh. I'm just really a little bit disturbed about why he said that, which it was completely untrue.
Uh-huh. Everything's untrue with this guy.
Yeah, it's always other people, never me.
No, it's
all these
everybody
people.
Else is
I am the science, though, and right. When you're the science, they just happen to go after you. Sure they do. Meanwhile, in the upside-down world, it's Republicans that are calling for the defunding of police departments.
Yeah, Joe Biden gave a speech yesterday and made this wild claim.
Okay, roll it.
MAGA Republicans are calling for defunding the police departments and defunding the FBI now. That's a good one. I like that one.
oh, man.
Where does this come from?
Oh,
just
he made
confused
it up.
Again?
No, he made it up. Okay. He's lying. He's a liar who lies all the time. That's been his career for the last several decades.
Is it because the integrity of the FBI is being called into question now?
Well, that
is
too.
Is that why he's saying that?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure that one out.
I think, yeah, I mean, there are Republicans, there are a few Republicans who actually do want to dismantle the FBI because from their perspective, it can't be reformed. You gotta bulldoze it, basically, because the leadership is so rotten. And they're so ineffective at stopping threats, at identifying threats, and they spend a lot of time setting people up to commit acts of terrorism or convincing people that that's a good idea. I mean, and that's nothing new. That's been going on, again, for decades. And, you know, just within or in the 21st century, I mean, it was young Muslim men in the United States that they were pushing towards radicalization so that they could get a win on the scoreboard. With fighting fighting extremism. It was the fake kidnapping plot of the governor of Michigan then with these like goobers in Michigan who were these like wannabe militia men. They're like, hey, why don't we try to kidnap this? Okay, Mr. Fed.
And one guy had been stoned for years nonstop in that group. Easily. The read about the drug use was unreal.
Yeah. He's saying easily persuasive.
Maybe.
Yes. As long as you had a bag of weed,
and
he'd say anything.
even during the 2020 Summer of Love, there's a big report from The Intercept where the feds infiltrated some of the more radical elements associated with Black Lives Matter to try to get them to commit acts of terrorism.
Yes, only to get bailed out by the vice president.
Right.
And other Democratic leaders. Dude, you couldn't make it up.
No.
Okay. So more on that a little bit later. Also, and I think it's probably true that in retrospect, everything with the Twitter files is going to be a big story down the line. And it's strange right now because it has not been covered very much from legacy media. But it's a big deal. And I think there was a lot on display yesterday with Matt Taibbi and Michael Schellenberger, guys that are, you know, at best, I mean, not far left, but certainly leaning left as journalists throughout their whole career. But now they're the enemy of the left because they're telling the truth.
Well, you did notice they were both white guys, though.
So?
Supremacists. Come on.
Okay. That's what it's about. Yeah. They did this whole thing as far as acting as a liberal journalist for years for this moment because they were always white supremacists in training.
Right, that's right.
Of
well,
course.
Yeah, it's called the long con. Don't you know anything about spycraft?
Right.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
So you have a clip of a Democratic rep, Sylvia Garcia, asking what?
Yeah, well, we'll just get to this. Yeah, this was the hearing in the House of Representatives on the weaponization of the FBI to silence dissenting voices. Featuring two of the journalists who covered the Twitter files, Matt Taibbi and Michael Schellenberger. And Democrats, they looked like absolute fools who had no idea what they were talking about. Here's Democratic Representative Sylvia Garcia grilling Michael Schellenberger.
Okay.
You also said that you were invited by a friend, Barry Weiss?
My friend, Barry Weiss.
So this friend works for Twitter, or what is her...
Oh, my goodness.
She's a journalist.
Sir, I didn't ask you a question. I'm now asking Mr. Schellenberger a question. Please,
yes, ma'am. Barry Weiss is a journalist.
I'm sorry, sir?
She's a journalist.
She's a journalist. So you work in concert with her?
How dumb is this person?
Yeah.
Extremely dumb.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Do you know when she first was contacted by Mr. Musk?
I don't know.
You don't know. So you're in this as a threesome?
Uh-oh.
There was many more people involved than that.
I mean, Schellenberger was a pro there, man.
I know. How do you not just say, would you like to rephrase that, Representative, with all due respect?
I don't think I could have had the maturity to not just say, excuse me. What was that again? What are you asking exactly? Just curious. Wow.
It was more like a tag team thing. Somebody got tired, we just tagged in.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Golly.
You know that dope? Who? What's that lady's name? The one that was saying it is so-called journalist.
Oh, I don't remember her name. Some backbencher representative, yes. Democrat.
From the islands.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tybee answered that. Well, he says her name. And the way he answered this, I thought this was really good, because not only does he take issue with being a so-called journalist, he kind of encapsulates the whole thing.
Ranking Member Plaskett, I'm not a so-called journalist. I've won the National Magazine Award, the I.F. Stone Award for Independent Journalism, and I've written 10 books, including 4 New York Times bestsellers. The original promise of the internet was that it might democratize the exchange of information globally. A free internet would overwhelm all attempts to control information flow, its very existence a threat to anti-democratic forms of government everywhere. What we found in the files was a sweeping effort to reverse that promise and use machine learning and other tools to turn the internet into an instrument of censorship and social control. Unfortunately, our own government appears to be playing a lead role.
Yes. He just said that in a short amount of time, and that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's what the country's really founded on. And you have the government trying to stop it. The flow of information. And control what people can say. And what they can read. And I don't know why everyone is not outraged by that. But I guess there are enough people in the country brainwashed to think, well, if we just silence the, quote, bad people, then it's going to be some sort of utopia. No, this has to be stopped. I mean, now. And that's one of the reasons, you know, these guys that have been held in high regard, Taibbi and Schellenberger, all of a sudden they're enemies. It's like Elon Musk.
Yeah.
He was loved until all of a sudden he's like, you know, these policies from the left are freaking stupid. They really are. I mean, this is nonsense, and starts calling it out, and then buys Twitter. Oh, they freak out. Yeah, it's like the reason they left California with Tesla, his companies.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
This is stupid. I can't keep a company here. I'll go to Texas.
Why do I do business in a state that hates me?
Yeah.
Sure. Why would I do that? I have options.
And now, you see his plans for outside of Austin? What he's going to do in Texas?
Oh, the build his own city?
Yes.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on that, David?
Go for it. If he wants to do it, go for it. We'll see. We'll see how it all works out. I don't really have a hot take on it. He wants all the employees of all his companies
to have, you know, this place where you're going to have nice homes, not crazy prices. You can make a good living, and we can do that in Texas. I thought you would think that was cool, but at the same time, I thought you also may think, hey, you're going to bring a lot of stupid thinking people.
No, I don't think
so. To our state.
No, okay. Because the far left liberals will not. I mean, they're whining because they were some of the first to buy Teslas, and now they feel like it's a mark of shame. They're not moving to Elon Musk town. I, for one, can't wait to settle down in Walmart, Texas.
Why is that?
Say that. Well, low prices.
Yeah. Of course, always.
Everyday low prices, too, by the way.
I think that's going to be really interesting with where Austin is at least currently. Okay, man, there's a lot to get to today. Another news update. Maine, a vegan there, lost their license plate because it's obscene. David has that story straight ahead. Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Hey, not trying to stir up fear, just reading the news today. I've seen the Wall Street Journal. Saudi Arabia and Iran, they've restored relations.
Yeah.
It's been chilly for years. You know who brokered that deal?
Dennis Rodman.
China.
Yeah.
Well, they're a peaceful group. You know, now bring people together.
Now would be a great time for the Biden administration to quit worrying about what green weenie activists think and start really, really unleashing American energy production. That'd be a really good idea, because that stuff doesn't just start overnight. And if Iran and Saudi Arabia and China are all kind of getting together and being all cozy, maybe it's time to start really looking forward to the future and realizing that we cannot depend on the rest of the world to take care of us.
No. Boy, in Iran, all the weapons to Russia right now.
Mm-hmm.
And China also supporting Russia. And you probably saw all the latest bombing Russia has done in Ukraine. And, you know, different people have brought up the point, hey, I thought Ukraine was winning this thing. All of a sudden, it doesn't look like Ukraine's winning this thing. And then you had Zelensky last night saying, hey, where's the jets?
Yeah.
Along with Benny. We need some help here.
Biden and the jets.
Like, well, we need it now. I mean, where is it? Come on. Where is it at?
Right.
Very troubling.
This guy always asks for something new.
And another story out there, I don't know if you saw, but we, the United States, are now looking into whether it was this pro-Ukraine group that had the big role in the Nord Stream explosions. Germany has now said it wasn't Russia. They didn't do it. Because we were trying to run with that as best we could.
Mm-hmm.
Our media and our government, and now so that's gone. Well, it wasn't us. Okay, so maybe it was this pro-Ukraine group. Well, who is it? Well, we don't know.
Would that be the United States, maybe? Potentially?
Well, no, but somebody else.
I'm waiting for him to blame the Proud Boys.
Oh, yeah, those guys.
Did it.
Yes.
Those guys did it.
Oh, goodness. It wasn't us. It was them, the Warriors. They did it.
That's why you haven't seen the QAnon shaman on CNN lately.
That's right.
He was actually diving deep underwater to blow up those pipes.
That's right.
Okay, you mentioned this story, David. You have it. Somebody lost their license plate because it was obscene?
Yeah, so the backstory on this is that in the state of Maine for several years, I wouldn't call it a total free-for-all, but it's pretty close when it came to issuing vanity plates. Like, mm-hmm. You could put a whole lot of different things on there. They weren't very strict about it. So there's been a bit of a controversy about that because, you know, the B-word showing up, some unsavory messages are being put on state license plates and whatnot. So the state is now reversing course, and they're cracking down on it, and they're reviewing things. They reviewed the license plate and rejected now of a vegan guy whose license plate read Love Tofu. It was L-U-V, tofu. Except when you see it spelled out, it looks like Love to F-U.
Yeah, it does too. That's the first thing I thought when I saw it. I'm like, how do you ever get that?
You know, all I can think is... Man, you're trying to say, hey, these pornographic books in the grade school, don't worry about that, but this I Love Tofu thing, this is over the line.
Gotta go.
It's just absolutely too much. I can't have it.
Kids will see it, and golly, it'll wreck them.
By the way, critical race theory being taught in schools, getting bylaws, you know how they do it?
Oh,
we'll get to that much more straight ahead right here. Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins, a Gen Xer, a millennial, and a sexy boomer. Somehow trying to make this thing work. It's kind of crazy, but it sure is fun. I saw this story. You know how Glenn Youngkin in Virginia, he a big enemy of critical race theory and transgender activism. He would fight it, do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And people have been cheering him on across the country. Good for him. I see this headline at the Wall Street Journal. How a teacher's union promotes critical race theory. What? A toolkit tells teachers how to push radical ideology on children despite Governor Youngkin's ban.
Hey, but CRT's not taught in schools.
Right, exactly.
We all know that.
This is the point we've been trying to make for years. They fall on this all the time. There's no textbook that says CRT. We don't teach that. It's not that you openly go, hey, here's your CRT test or quiz or textbook. It's that you slide it in all the time.
Well, the Black Lives Matter at School organization promotes an annual week of action that took place February 6th through the 10th this year. Encourages its members to participate and offered an instruction manual, quote, to be used as a resource guide for advancing racial justice in Virginia schools. Okay. By advancing racial justice, she means following the politicized agenda of the Black Lives Matter movement. The materials show this isn't an attempt to teach black history as part of American history or to fill in the gaps in black history that no doubt have existed in instruction in the past. I don't know, has it? Say it has. Instead, the toolkit promotes 13 guiding principles of the BLM movement. Include, quote, working towards a queer-affirming network where heteronormative thinking no longer exists.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Destroying the family.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable no one caught on to this Black Lives Matter stuff when it was at the height of its power. But the fact that it's still out there after everything has been uncovered is crazy to me.
Well, I think a lot of it, too, is them openly saying we don't teach CRT. And then people just taking it at their word.
Dude.
And it's under the guise of something else.
It's about Marxism.
Well, I know,
they haven't
helped
any black people in the inner city across the country. What have they done?
Well, some people have made a ton of money on this.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got mansions.
Yeah.
What was it? Nicole Hannah-Jones, the 1619 Project lady, bad historian, bad writer, but celebrated by the left, is a Virginia school district that paid her like $30,000 to give a speech.
Yeah.
And then they took her speech off the website, like the recording of it.
And why is that, David?
Well, there may be a financial interest, and hey, you can't just give this stuff away. I Nicole Hannah-Jones wants to be sure to get the next $30,000 a speech payday.
Wow. Also in this toolkit in Virginia, the disruption of Western nuclear family dynamics and a return to the collective village that takes care of each other.
Why do you call them communists?
I don't know.
It's not your kids.
Yeah.
It's the community's kids.
Well, let's start Hillary Clinton, remember? Takes a village.
Yes, takes a village, because a lot of people in the village want to deal with your kids. And that's what happens in the end. We see it more and more. By the way, in this story, it does say, and you'd have to agree, the idea that the, quote, nuclear family is a Western construct would certainly surprise Chinese, Indians, or Koreans. Yes, it would.
Well, yeah.
But, of course, on the left, well, that's a Western construct. Patriarchy. And it goes on. So it's not like you can even make these laws and think, okay, we've taken care of the CRT in this state. There are still forces at work to indoctrinate your kids.
Well, and what needs to happen is you need to have someone with the legal authority to go in, and when people are caught doing that, they no longer work at the school district. You're gone. Now, I understand that's a tall order and really hard to do legally. Part of it starts with the necessity, in my opinion, for a relentless campaign to disband teachers' unions.
Well, you can do that. The other thing that I thought, and I know I'll get called crazy for it, but it's against the law to teach it, right? I mean, it's against the law to do certain things with kids. You should be arrested. You're teaching this crap. You're not supposed to teach that crap to kids.
No.
You're arrested. It's against the law. If you have some guy talking to, you know, an 8-year-old girl about sex, about her private parts, would a lot of people like to see that guy arrested?
Yeah, I think that's different than trying to sneak in critical race theory or whatever. But yeah, I mean, that to me, yes, if you're talking to a kid about their genitals,
It's clear what you can teach and what you can't.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, I think that at least they should be removed from their positions.
That's you got to be fired. You're not going to be able to arrest people for teaching curriculum that's not
arrest and public
allowed.
Caning. I think I'm just going to keep going and adding on.
Public caning instead of arrest, maybe.
They hate you. They hate God and damn them to hell.
See, just exactly throwing out the arrest thing. All of a sudden, my two bros are looking at me like, man, I think that might be a little much.
No, you can't arrest people for bad ideas.
If it's against the law.
Do you know how many prisons we'd have to build? Do you know how many prisons we'd have to build? Do you have to arrest people for bad ideas?
Well, there's one
all
thing,
the
man.
Jobs that could
listen,
be
man,
created.
There are bad ideas, and there's indoctrinating kids.
Oh, I know. I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean.
I just don't think you can just sort of lay back. Well, I suppose their intentions are good. No, they're not. They're freaking evil. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
It's that time of day. We're looking at stories all over the place. You're wondering, okay, maybe this isn't the biggest story, but it caught my attention. So, David, today, what's your story?
This actually kind of dovetails off of what you were talking about. Not arresting teachers, but about Virginia. And the governor of Virginia, Glenn Youngkin, did a town hall on CNN. It was hosted by Jake Tapper. This, to me, is a perfect example of why Republicans need to stop doing stuff like this. There is no upside. You are never going to convince the CNN audience that you're a good guy, because what they do, and we've seen this so many times, is they seed in people who are quote-unquote Republican voters.
Right.
But, I mean, it's all about attacking you. That's
it. It's a rigged game.
The entire point is to try to get you to slip up and say something, and they can take it out of context and make you look like a monster. And I'm sick and tired of seeing it. I like Glenn Youngkin. I'm sick and tired of seeing guys like him thrown to the wolves because he thinks that there's some win in going on CNN of all places. But I just want to demonstrate where I'm going with this or why I feel this way. Here is a montage of the questions that were asked to Governor Youngkin of Virginia.
Why are teachers, which, as you know, are so hard to come by right now, so underpaid?
Do you agree that there is an unspoken culture of racism and implicit bias against teachers of color within school districts?
So why not eliminate the requirement to say the Pledge of Allegiance at the beginning of each day?
Look at me. I am a transgender man.
Yeah. I mean, this is a bipartisan. There's independent voters. There's Republican voters. There's Democrat voters. No, there's not. Come on, man.
What a joke. I think you're right, though.
Yeah.
You're just not going to win that.
You ice them out, man. I think that's one of the best things that DeSantis has done in Florida is, hey, Washington Post wants to do an interview with you. No, not until you retract all the stories that you've written about me that are false. Did that with NBC as well.
Dude, you remember the first time the failing New York Times called? Wanted me to give a quote?
Oh, yeah.
There's no win in that.
No,
there's not.
They're going to twist anything you say.
Yeah.
No, jam it.
I remember the one of them was, I hear you calling us the failing New York Times. I would like to discuss the fake news thing. Oh, no, dude, no way. There was an election going on in Mississippi years ago, and Craig Melvin's producer on MSNBC emailed me to ask for expert opinion on the state of Mississippi politics. I'm just like, yes. Dude, I'm not in Mississippi. They Googled. We have affiliates in Mississippi, of course, but I don't live there. I'm not the guy that you're looking for, you dope moron.
Right. Well, I think it was also a conservative point of view, and it had to do with Portland and the Pacific Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter, like, where it is. They're going to twist what you say.
Absolutely.
I've seen the game too many times.
You know, I've gone through today, and no one's made an ass of me yet, so yeah, I'll talk to you.
All right, Scott, what's your story?
Well, my story involves National Women's Day, or International Women's Day. What is it? Women's Day or International Women's Day?
International.
What was it yesterday? International.
Yeah.
Worldwide.
On Wednesday, yeah.
And it's Women's Month, and then a lot of politicians are making hay here.
Yeah.
One of those is a female politician, House Democrat Minority Whip Catherine Clark. She's a doozy. Massachusetts Congresswoman who's been serving her constituents since she won the special election in 2013. Very prestigious position she's in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yesterday, She was talking about National Women's Day, and she said, the faces of power are changing. When I arrived in Congress, security reportedly stopped me every day and said, hey, spouses aren't allowed on the floor. Now there are more women in Congress than ever. 93 strong in the House Democrats, including these incredible new leaders. Hashtag Women's History Month. Nice try. When you arrived in Congress, there were 20 women senators and 80 congresswomen. Nice try. The security guard stopped you every day. Now it makes for a great story, doesn't it? I mean, none of this matters. It's all about gender slander. That's what it is. The whole girl boss beats the misogynistic evil guards every day.
Yeah.
That's the narrative, and it's boring as hell. But keep saying it over and over and over again.
Well, for my story, it was something that I happened to see on YouTube. I understand that they know the algorithms, and they know what you might like to see. And it wasn't that long ago. I think it was last weekend. I was watching some different videos on Thomas Sowell. And so this popped up, and this is a group called the Cartier family. It's five young black dudes. And as far as I can tell, I'm trying to figure out exactly what they've done. They've got like hundreds of thousands of followers.
Wow.
They just react to stuff. And so I'm reading the comments of the video that I saw, and it was, man, love. These are real conversations that actual people have or that people should be having. And, you know, kudos to you guys. So I'll set it up like this. They're watching Thomas Sowell. And I think for some of those guys, it was the first time they had seen him. As the video's rolling, one of the things that caught my attention was they were playing the video of the Hollywood elite during the summer of 2020 saying, I take responsibility for black lives.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Dude,
I remember that. I do too.
The reaction from these dudes is so awesome. I'll just play you part of it.
What the hell?
This is that Black Lives Matter.
Man, turn this man.
Hold on, man. Let it run. Let it run.
I take responsibility. Black people are being slaughtered in the streets.
Is Ziller watching this going, huh? What are you saying that for? You don't understand it. And so then they're going, okay, let's get back to the Thomas Sowell stuff. And so they're watching this.
Now, I don't think that the white liberals are doing this deliberately, but I think the net result is also the same. They are cheering blacks on and doing things that are absolutely self-destructive.
Damn.
I agree.
Can we pause?
Jeez.
What are they?
So, Brent, I want to ask you a question, right?
So the question he's going to ask his buddy, because you can kind of figure out there's two of these guys that are really into this conversation. The other guys are too, but there's two that sort of take the lead. One of the lead-ups was Sowell talking about black culture, or what is known as black culture in the United States, is a ton of BS. It came from whites in the South, which actually started in Europe. And it was this dumbed-down mentality. It's not from the roots of Africa. And he had laid this whole thing out and saying that, you know, in history, whether it was IQ, anything else, blacks did just as well. Okay. But they adopted the, you could say, redneck Southern culture and held on to it and then glorified it in urban cities. And so as they're watching this, you know, get laid out, then they have this conversation.
So oftentimes you would say that we got to get out this victim mindset, right? That how blacks, we often blame, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're the problem, right? We got to stop blaming the white man for that. But based on what he said, does that change your mindset in the sense of, like, that it's white liberals causing the harm?
I mean they so kind of...
They're not really causing the harm, they're also
perpetuating that victim mindset, as you just heard. That's my Black Lives Matter video, them in support of that. I'm sorry, oh, it's our fault. What?
Yeah.
Now they're saying it's our fault that you're a victim.
Yeah.
We're not victims.
They're trying to say that, like, the white liberals, the people who, like,
promoting it.
And the one dude is just cutting up the whole time. The one dude is just hilarious. Because he's always making these faces like, huh?
The white liberals are the ones saying BLM. They're the ones saying all cops are bad. Yeah. That's promoting that victimhood mentality.
So that's what I'm asking. I'm not going to put
that on them, but they're also enabling that victim mentality.
Okay. So you see they're also enabling it. Okay.
Like, a white liberal will tell you, oh, you're a victim. You have it harder because of your skin. Da-da-da-da. They'll tell you that. It's brainwashing you, bro. It's not.
They're brainwashing you, bro. People are figuring that out, man.
Those people who are on that are embarrassed by their participation at this point in time or not.
You gotta be. If they watch that video with those guys clowning
cringy,
on them.
Man. Golly.
Love that. Okay. News update straight ahead right here. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. The LA Times said what?
Oh, white people are polluting the air breathed by black people. If you're white
that.
And you live in the Los Angeles area, you are polluting black people's neighborhoods. And what they do is, what they looked at was a study, of course, done at, I think it's done at USC. Yeah. They claim that people who live in Los Angeles who drive more tend to be exposed to less air pollution because they live in areas that aren't basically in a bowl where the smog all settles. Now, okay. There's a lot of, you know, geographical and meteorological explanations for that. One being they don't live in a bowl where the smog settles. They live where ocean breezes come in and clear out any smog. The other thing, so what they claim is that, well, all these people also commute more. And so they're driving through black and brown neighborhoods on their way to work and whatnot, and you're poisoning black people. Here's the thing. The way they got to that was that they counted some Hispanics as white.
So what have you got to do to make the math work for you? You can't make it up. This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. A lot going on today. Who's a liar? Who called who a liar? What?
Who's a liar? What now? Oh, Adam Schiff.
Adam Schiff called somebody a liar?
This is incredible, okay? So Tucker Carlson on Fox News has been rolling out unseen footage from the Capitol riot, including video that shows Capitol Police literally escorting the QAnon shaman guy around through the building, like checking to see if doors are unlocked to let him into the Senate. And Democrat Representative Adam Schiff, one of the top Russia truthers in the House of Representatives, I might argue the top Russia truther with Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
He weaponized the Intelligence Committee to convince people that Donald Trump was a Russian spy. And he is mad because Tucker Carlson is saying things that we didn't say on the January 6th committee.
Okay, roll it.
The power of repetition is such that, you know, people like Tucker Carlson, who know they're lying to the public, can convince tens of millions of people of those lies.
He called them fine people, the neo-Nazis. What'd you say about repeating a lie over and over and over there, Schiff?
I tell you, it's been really illuminating to me about other periods of history where you had other liars use a powerful megaphone and convince millions that they can't believe what they've seen.
Hitler.
I bet it was a real eye-opener, Adam.
And you wonder, how is that possible? And now we see how that's possible. When you have people who have no love of country, no patriotic fiber, when it's just all about the money, then this is what happens.
Shameless.
I'm going to go with the theme of the show today. Arrest him. Okay? Send him to jail.
Well, you want to talk about the power of repetition and a lie. I've put together a little montage of Adam Schiff
lying,
talking about Russian collusion with Donald Trump.
Hmm. Well, we should enjoy that.
The Trump campaign colluded with Russia.
This is part of a concerted Russian influence operation that never stopped.
There's plenty of evidence of collusion or conspiracy in plain sight.
There is significant evidence on the issue of collusion.
I can't go into the particulars. I don't want to go into specifics, but there is more than circumstantial evidence. And that is pretty damning.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems to me you broke the law, Adam.
This guy went out there saying, hey, I'm the chair of the Intelligence Committee in the House of Representatives. Obviously, I know what I'm talking about. Now, I can't tell you the details because obviously, you know, Intelligence Committee, some of this stuff is classified. I'm super important. But I'm going to tell you that, yes, Donald Trump worked with the Russians to steal the 2016 election. Over and over and over, this guy did this.
Yes, and he knew better. It's not like, oh, you know what? I was wrong on the information. No, right. He knew it the whole time.
He had
just
the
flat
info.
Out lied and lied under oath. Arrest him.
I'm half joking.
Well, in his state, too, it is illegal to be a bug-eyed pie face.
Wow. Whoa. Man, dude, that's taking another step, isn't it?
That's a pie face.
What do you mean by pie face?
It's
some
like
people
a pie
get confused.
Tin. His face is round like a pie tin.
It is round.
Round.
Okay,
pie
got
face.
It. Yeah, because some people, I think, visualize this slice of pie. You're saying the whole thing.
No, you got the whole big yes, old round. Pie there.
Yeah, got it.
With big old bug eyes in it.
Yeah.
Yep.
By the way, I don't know if you saw Trump was in the news, and of course, Legacy Media is going to pick this up. I don't know if anything comes of this. It's the New York prosecutors saying that Trump will likely face criminal charges.
Oh, God, here we go again.
And what?
He's been going to face criminal charges.
Dude.
8,000 times.
That's the thing. And I can't even keep track of how many different lawsuits are out there right now.
Oh, gosh.
They just throw them at him one after another. And most of this stuff, as we've seen, ends up getting thrown out. So you're always trying to figure out, okay, what's real, what's not. And this has to do, again, I thought this whole episode was over by now, was the Stormy Daniels thing.
Yeah.
You know? So, he still denies that anything ever happened, by the way. But I happened to see his reaction on Truth Social and then made note of it. Here, let me grab this. Do you want to hear what he said?
Oh, sure.
Of course I do.
I figured you did. Okay. So, these people are saying, you know, it's this hush money. And because of the hush money and different facets of it with Michael Cohen, it's illegal. This could be criminal charges. And Trump writes, I did absolutely nothing wrong. I never had an affair with Stormy Daniels, nor would I have wanted to. This is a political witch hunt trying to take down the leading candidate by far in the Republican Party, while at the same time also leading all Democrats in the polls, including Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Congress and numerous Democrat district attorneys, attorney general, and the Department of Injustice itself to place top DOJ prosecutors into the Manhattan district attorney's office in order to, quote unquote, get Trump. I found I did nothing wrong. I'm leading up to something that's very important.
All right.
Now they fall back on the old and rebuked case, which has been rejected by every prosecutor's office that has looked at this Stormy horse-faced Daniels matter.
Oh, God.
Where I relied on counsel in order to resolve this extortion of me, which took place a long time ago.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Have you guys seen that part of it?
No.
That's why I captured it.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Stormy horse face Daniels.
Daniels.
Okay.
Golly.
In her line of work, most people are not looking at her face.
No.
I understand. I'm like, okay. It just never is, does it?
You know, man.
Holy mackerel.
Every time that stuff comes up, I just can't help but remember the focus group that was done years ago. You got a bunch of ladies in Dallas.
In Texas.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember it.
And the question, that was on 60 Minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And the question was about Stormy Daniels, and it's like all these ladies, they're all Christian, and, you know, they're saying, well, do you have a problem with this? And the ladies were like, well, she's probably making it up, but what if she's not making it up? Well, who cares? We're not electing a choir boy.
Yeah. I mean, between him and Hillary. Okay. Well, in that case, I guess.
You're getting it right from the horse's mouth.
You know how sometimes the the Derby horses have like cool names. I mean, if a guy would name one Stormy Daniels, I would pop all kinds of dough on that one.
Yeah, I mean, to your point. Speaking of weird relationships, okay, so yesterday there was this story about Tiger Woods. We mentioned it briefly. And so from what we talked about yesterday, what was your takeaway from it, if anything?
I'm not
surprised by anything.
That it was a relationship.
I was surprised by the length of the relationship.
6 years.
Yeah, that's a long time for Tig.
And then she had signed a non-disclosure agreement.
Yeah.
Right? But was looking to get out of there, and you can get out of that in cases of, you know, some sort of sexual abuse or harassment.
Yeah.
Is what it said. And, you know, media picks this up. Man, it was one of the big stories on Good Morning America yesterday.
Now to new controversy for Tiger Woods. His ex-girlfriend is asking a judge to free him from a non-disclosure agreement she says Woods had her sign. Kana Whitworth has the details for us this morning. Good morning, Kana.
And so they went into the whole thing. But there was another part of this story that apparently some of the people that work for Tiger told her after the breakup this last October to pack for a short vacation. And so she did. And so then they took her to the airport. And then when she got to the airport, she was told, yeah, you're not going back into that house. You're out.
Wow, man.
You hadn't heard that part of the story,
no,
right? That's why I thought it was interesting.
Did she at least have a ticket for a flight somewhere?
Okay, I'll read to you from the story because my takeaway was, I don't think she went anywhere.
I don't think she did either. She went to the airport. That was
and then they had put her up in a hotel to stay for a little while.
Yeah.
Paid for some expenses. But as the story goes, it's Erica Herman, who is 38, lived with Tiger for 6 years, filed the court papers alleging that the agents of Tiger tricked her into leaving his Florida mansion, again, saying she was heading on a short vacation, specifically by trickery. Agents of the defendant convinced the plaintiff to pack a suitcase, okay? Once at the airport, told her she had been locked out of her residence.
Oh, boy.
Who? Man.
Imagine that agent or whoever it was that was hired doing that, going home. Hey, honey, how was your day at work? You'll never believe it. I just dropped this broad off at the airport and told her, yeah, don't come home.
Yes, and dude, here's what, it gets stranger, okay? At least to me it does. Under this question that read, and this is new information, does this case involve allegations of sexual abuse? Herman ticked the box for yes. So then, in a separate court filing, and this was uncovered by the Daily Mail, she's also suing Woods for $30 million, claiming severe emotional damage. That Tiger's representatives removed $40,000 of her money. And it also says that she provided valuable services at Wood's request as part of an, and this is how it reads, no joke, oral tenancy agreement.
A what?
Oral tenancy agreement.
Tenancy?
Like you're a tenant.
Well, does that mean she...
All expenses that contract, related to her residency were fully paid by the defendant or its privies. So that's the update there.
She's probably had to mow the yard and shovel the snow and that kind of stuff.
I don't know, man. But she was informed at the airport she would not be allowed to return to the residency.
That is
without legal counsel to aid her. She felt like she was just like floored by the whole thing. So there you go. See where that goes.
That's cold, man. Tig, that's cold.
Oh, maybe
yeah,
they
man.
Had a blow
hey, going
up.
On a little vacation. Pack up.
Yeah.
Yep, you're not coming back.
Well, maybe they had a blow up and he was worried that, you know, she was going to come at him with a golf club or something. And he's like, been down that road before.
We're just changing the locks now. Forget all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've lived that one before. Keeping an eye on that. Okay, David, I know you have a story saying people think Adderall is being tainted right now? Wow.
Uh-oh.
And how Americans watch local sports is about to change. I don't know if you saw this big deal. We'll get to that as well coming up. The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Health news.
Yeah.
Tainted. Prescriptions? What?
Well, people are worried right now if they, like you, have a mental illness and suffer from ADHD.
Hey, I'll take that from Robbins.
Then I'm trying
to... That was grandfathered in.
I'm trying to help you here.
Give it's you on some, our bio. We reach out to people who are special like you.
Yeah, some Shut news up. You could potentially use. So people online are spreading this idea that the Adderall that they're taking isn't working like it used to. Now, there's been an Adderall shortage for months.
Really?
Yeah. I know. You hadn't heard anything about that, Jamie, had you?
It's been crazy, honestly. Yeah. You're calling all over the place, and you're talking to different pharmacies saying it just ran out, or as soon as we get it, it's filled, and people can't get it,
yeah.
And they're driving all over the place to try to get it. The good news is, though, when you start the medication, they tell you it's not addictive.
Right.
And that's good news.
So some people are thinking...
Yeah, that's a joke. That's sarcasm.
I was just going to say, hold on a second. I did see it. They did a report on NBC the other night about this, though.
Yeah.
About how it was, and people were selling the Adderall, which is 1D, doesn't work as well.
That's what they're wondering. Like, what is it exactly that has changed? Has something actually changed with it? Well, the short answer is, as far as we know, no. Nothing has actually changed. But what may have changed is, one, people are more anxious because they don't know when they're going to get their next fill. So you're automatically at a heightened sense, maybe if you have a supply of Adderall, but you're thinking, oh my gosh, you know, every time you take one, you realize, oh no, I don't know when I'm going to be able to replace that one. And the reason for the shortage in part is because, well, telemedicine during the pandemic.
Yes.
A lot of people were getting brand new Adderall prescriptions.
Yes.
Because without ever seeing a doctor. And then they were saying that in some cases, you might have to switch to the generic. Well, depending on what generic you get, what coats the pill may actually affect the way your body absorbs the medication. So it's the same dose. There's nothing wrong with the actual drug itself, but whatever they use to coat the pill to hold it all together may be different and may be affecting your way of absorbing the medication that you're taking.
Well, I think I just told you guys, it took a while to fill a script, and it is different. These are round. It's not the oval, what it was before. So as far as the coating, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I think you guys know, and you've been frightened by it. I've been saying drug-free in 23 for about the last 6 months, like different medications that I got put on, what, 2005?
Mm-hmm.
That I really would like to be done with. And, you know, I could take you through the whole thing. I've been encouraged not to by different doctors at different points in time. And finally got, you know, a few to agree that, you know, it's worth a try. So that's what I would like to do. And working on one of them right now. But the Adderall will be later this year. And I know every time I bring that up, Robbins, you get frightened.
Well, I don't know what that means for me.
Because it all goes back to you.
I'm sitting in the studio.
Not about my well-being.
Somebody who could freak out any moment.
Oh, that's not true.
Going to be doing the train spotting thing.
Right, yeah.
Right. You know why I'm worried about you, Robbins?
No, why?
Because I saw this headline today. How Americans watch local sports is about to change as cable bundles unravel.
Uh-oh.
So the owner of Bally Sports is expected to file for bankruptcy. Warner Brothers Discovery looking to exit regional sports businesses.
Well, Bally Sports is huge, man.
Well, you're talking about over half of Major League Baseball teams and the regional broadcasts.
Mm-hmm.
They're finding it harder and harder to make money doing this because the price to pay is so huge.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, they're saying this could go down all the way to player salaries because there's not as much money. People are not finding it as lucrative.
Well, TV money is factored in, yes.
Yes.
To payrolls, yeah.
So then you could be on your own with your own subscription for your team, that sort of thing, which, depending, could end up costing you more.
Yeah, I've got one right now for the whole league, so.
So we'll see. Mm-hmm. This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Biggest story of the day, David, would be?
Oh, man, there are a lot. I mean, today I learned that a bunch of MAGA Republicans apparently want to defund the police. At least that's according to Joe Biden. Of course, he's lying about that. No, man. They're... I don't know anybody who's out there saying defund the police. on the right. Nobody is saying that.
Well, he says a lot of things that make no sense.
All of our allies.
If you try anything to raise the cost of precision jobs, I will veto it.
You have precision jobs, and they want to defund it, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Whatever nonsense he's saying.
I bought a bunch of precision jobs because I know they're going to be rare pretty soon.
Well, I think I'm going to use it to replace the Adderall
later
this year.
Jubs.
Kamala Harris apparently is worried about climate mental health. What does climate mental health mean?
Oh, God, this is crazy.
Get to that and much more coming up. Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Is that a news update? What did you just say?
Yeah, well, we have a celebrity who is suggesting that perhaps, maybe, just maybe, murder is a solution to legalizing abortion nationwide through all 9 months of pregnancy. We're not talking about the abortion itself. We're talking about murdering pro-life politicians.
Who said that?
That's according to Jane Fonda on an ABC news program. The View.
Wow.
Yeah.
Of The View. Of course. They agreed with her, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, Joy Behar actually kind of winced at that. But so they're talking about abortion, and she's saying, no, we're not going back. Blah, 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 all this stuff, right?
Okay.
And then this happened.
So it's marching and protesting. What else do you suggest?
Well, it doesn't happen overnight. It's not a miraculous. What did you say?
Murder. She's kidding. Wait a second. She's just kidding.
Don't say that. That's
you don't know. They'll pick up on that and just run with it.
Yeah, that's the worst.
She's just kidding. It's
well, let me talk to you about.
Oh, yeah. ABC News.
It's funny.
Yeah, laughing about murdering politicians.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take him to task for that. I won't. Because I know what we say off air.
Hey, but we don't do it on air.
Dance sometimes, but not that far. It's not funny. I mean, they're not funny. I mean, Jane Fonda, I mean, the expiration date was years ago.
Well, she's the same age as Biden. I think they suffer from the same ailments.
So there's got to be a purpose and some sort of relevancy, and she's trying, I guess. It's just kind of sad.
Got a new movie out.
So what? When's the last time she had a good movie?
A good one?
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
I mean, that whatever Grace and Frankie or Frankie and Grace show on Netflix is pretty popular.
When's the last time she had something good?
I've never seen Frankie.
I haven't seen it either, to
Frankie
be honest.
Frankie and Wilma?
I saw part of a trailer, and I'm like, this isn't for me.
Yeah, it's very popular Netflix series.
Yeah, there's a lot of that stuff. It's probably pretty popular. Just not interested. Kamala Harris is talking about climate mental health. What is that?
This is new.
She was doing an event and decided to talk about how young people are scared to start families now because of climate change. Well, who the hell told them that it would be dangerous to start a family because of climate change? I wonder.
Oh, my gosh. Roll this.
One of the young leaders was talking to me about climate mental health. I said, tell me what's going on with your peers. Climate mental health. And she talked, I said, I think I understand that, but unpack it for me. And she talked about how her peers are thinking about it. One example is, you know, whether when they're ready, could they start a family?
Has she gotten coached somehow in her delivery to put more wine in it?
I don't know, man.
Do you hear it? Is it just me?
I do, yeah.
Worried about what that would mean and the stress of it. They were talking about it in terms of their peers trying to figure out, you know, they're going to have to get a job and they're going to have to make a living, but what can they do and how can they adapt the education that they're having now to their activism?
They got to get a job and make a living. They're scared.
The adulting is hard.
Yeah. And the babies.
Here's a start. Quit telling young people that the earth is going to die in 10 years.
Well, exactly.
That would help.
Quit filling our heads full of that stuff.
Well, you know, the other part is telling people, you know what, we're overpopulated. Okay, having kids is irresponsible. Because as far as I can tell from anybody that knows their stuff, it's the exact opposite. The birth rates are declining.
Well, they are.
At an alarming rate to where it's a crisis.
That's a fact.
When you have socialized medical care systems around the world that are starting to really, really buckle, whether it's the NHS in the UK, whether it's the Canadian healthcare system, Finland, this has been a crisis for more than a decade now. The reason is because there are too many older people. There's not enough young people restocking the coffers with tax dollars because the birth rate has declined so significantly.
And then there's a whole bunch of other problems in different areas where the birth rate declines. Then home values plummet because there's more homes than what's needed. I heard a whole, probably half hour chat about this. It was Jordan Peterson and a guy that just did a documentary about the declining birth rate. They were also telling the story about more and more you have these people, and this is men and women, that get to 30s, 40s, and then 50s, thinking everything was going to go into career and there was no family. And then there's this feeling of desperation and then realizing it's too late. He said, and of course, it's worse for women because there's a chance at least a guy can still find someone that might want to have kids, but a woman only has a certain amount of time. And apparently Peterson tweeted out recently or something on social media, the message of he thinks that it's been awful, the message that's been told to young women for so long now that a career was going to bring them fulfillment and happiness. And they sort of bought into it and then come to find out they were absolutely wrong, that they really desired to have a family because in the end, only 5% of people, and this is men and women, don't desire to have a kid. I didn't know that until I was listening to this. 5%. But it's 30% of women right now that are childless. And a lot are very unhappy about it. He said the vitriol he got from that tweet was worse than most of the stuff he ever gets, which is saying something with Jordan Peterson. That's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, miserable people don't want to admit that they're miserable.
Correct.
And people who've been lied to never want to admit that they've been lied to about it. And I think with men and women, how many times does somebody at the end of the road say, you know what, I wish I would have spent more time in meetings?
Exactly.
Nobody does that.
You know how there's been a lot of talk about, for men, it's been growing in numbers, the amount of men that are celibate but not by choice?
Mm-hmm.
They just can't find a partner? Finding out more and more women are childless, not by choice. And what they mean by that is they kept thinking there was time. Going to focus on everything with career now, but then there was more responsibilities and then trying to fit it in and then build into a relationship of someone you could have kids with. And then all of a sudden the clock's running out. And it's really kind of sad.
Well, when you take in abortion into account. And then you take in the erasure of women in culture with transgenderism.
We also take into consideration birth controls. Since the 70s, the birth rate has dropped. It's crazy. You get into Japan numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Holy smokes. It's something.
Mm-hmm.
Other news out there.
And we need more kids because, damn it, I'm going to tap into that Social Security before you know it. Damn well better be there. You better get on the stick and start having kids. Let's go.
I saw this headline and we talked about this months ago. I remember. Coal keeping Germany's lights on.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, what do you know about that?
Yep. Coal accounted for 33.3% of electricity production in 2022. That's in Germany. Partly because coal picked up some of the slack from natural gas. And you go on and read this from the editorial board there. Blame renewables and the politicians who love them. The renewable share of Germany's electricity generation grew to 46.3% from 42% in 2022. the data point Berlin will want to highlight. But wind and solar don't work when the winds are still and the skies are cloudy. Utilities require cheap and easy alternative sources of power to match supply with demand in an advanced industrial economy when the weather doesn't cooperate. And that's exactly what happened.
Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, my goodness. And then you had that whole pipeline situation.
Mm-hmm.
Who blew that up?
They're thinking now a pro-Ukrainian organization.
But no idea who, because they've ruled out it wasn't Russia. They didn't blow up Nord Stream 2. I think we know it was us. Wonder if Germany knows that and are pissed. Wouldn't blame them.
Yeah.
Anyway. Meanwhile, update on Portland. They are finally, we've wanted this for a while, something to solve the homeless problem in Portland.
Yeah.
And we got it now?
Well, I don't know. I don't think so, though. But what the city of Portland confirmed that the first of six planned large-scale sanctioned homeless camping sites.
Nope, that ain't going to solve
it. Will be located in inner southeast Portland on a vacant lot between Powell and 13th Avenue. There was a news conference yesterday where they talked about this. I think it's 100 tents there with room. It's like a KOA, but for homeless people.
I was just going to say that.
There's 100 tents with room for up to 150 people with access to food, restroom, showers, electricity, and storage. And I, and then they say, well, incrementally, we're going to start going after people who camp in non-approved areas. You know, the only way this type of thing works is if the enforcement thing happens fast and ruthlessly. Because you got to say, look, if you are really just down in your luck and you find yourself on the street, hey, here's a new shelter that we've set up for you. That's fine. But then it also has to come, you know, the whole carrot and stick thing. The stick has to be, but you're not sleeping on the sidewalk anymore. And you're not sleeping in that park. And you're not camping out in a green belt somewhere. You're not doing that anymore. We are not tolerating it anymore. But they won't do
that. Every time liberals try to help, they make it so much worse.
Yeah.
And sometimes your question is it because they just don't understand what they're doing, or they know and don't care because it makes them feel good?
I think it could be both. I can't
believe that story.
Could be.
How about patio lanyard equity? Are we going to have that?
Well, you know, they're not going to allow drug use in there.
Of course not.
And if you have a weapon, you got to check that at the gate. Seriously, that was part of it. You got to check your weapon at the gate. Okay, I'm sure everybody's going to do that.
We'll see how that works. Cautionary tale out of Florida. Don't know if you saw this. Broward County. There was a dude hanging out at the Hard Rock Casino. Yep. And he's a wealthy guy. And he took a couple ladies home. And then it turned sour. You know what, David? Because of your history and news, and you hate the puns.
Yeah.
I want to play the local report.
Okay.
I think this was ABC 10, because it's some of that in there. And there's one guy that you'll hear who is just this random construction guy with a goatee that gives his two cents on this as the story is unfolding, which is hilarious, but this is the way it starts.
We're back with a crime alert. A man taking a big gamble at the Hard Rock Casino with two women, and it didn't end up working out in his favor.
They stole thousands of dollars worth of his stuff, and now police are doing all they can to find these thieves. Let's get to local 10's Trent Kelly, who joins us live from Hollywood with the surveillance video police hope will help in their search. Trent?
Yeah.
Yeah, Gio, the victim in all of this clearly rolling the dice when he decided to bring home two women who he met here at the Hard Rock. His luck, though, quickly running out when those ladies left his bank roll looking more bankrupt. Now the key to catching those casino thieves, according to deputies, lies in some crystal clear surveillance video, which they now want you to see.
Are you impressed with the wordplay there? There was six in there, David.
He may be a very nice man. Might be a loving father or husband or son. And I hate him.
Well, we got more of the story, man.
I mean,
he's not done yet.
Every fiber of my being, I hate this guy.
Can we expect
a
more?
A South Florida gambler making a bad bet after taking a chance on two women who vanished with most of his valuables.
Just be safe. Be careful. Don't drink too much so you know what you're doing. You got to be smart.
That's the dude.
Mm-hmm.
He's got one more piece of wisdom coming up in this story.
According to deputies, it happened back in December when the victim met the women at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino before taking them home. When he woke up, he says his watches, his gun, even his shoes were all missing. Surveillance video from inside the victim's home, released by investigators, shows a pretty clear view of their faces.
By the way, if you're wondering, listening... not worth it. Not even close.
The victim is also seen. His face, though, is blurred. The video shows the two women walking around, one appearing to use the restroom before later running away with the victim's possessions.
And when she's running, there's a wardrobe malfunction that they had to blur out. Mm. She's fallen out of herself there.
Detectives now hoping this clear footage will help someone identify the duo, as cops warn others to be careful who you take home, as you could be taken for everything.
Okay, here's the words of wisdom, and we'll just end the story with this. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
It can happen to any guy. We go out, we drink, we have a good time. You wake up, everything's gone.
That has literally never happened to me.
Really?
I'm just waiting for them to tag the story with, like, I think we can all agree this was a bad gamble on a game of poker.
Chance. I like the way they're going to show the video and see if you recognize him. If a dude recognizes him, is he going to call?
No.
Hey, I know those two hookers. Yeah, of course not.
No one said they were hookers.
Well, what are they?
They just steal from dopes.
Break them home.
News update. Straight ahead. The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. News update, David Van Camp.
Well, Norway has become the fourth European country to limit gender transition among minors.
Good for them.
As they have come out, the new Norwegian Healthcare Investigation Board has deemed that puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and surgery for children is experimental, saying that the gender-affirmative guidelines are not evidence-based and must be revised. And so what that experimental tag means is that there will be a significantly higher amount of oversight on it, if not an outright ban, moving forward.
It's the only responsible thing to do.
Yeah, it really is.
Just be done. Okay, we got to set you up for the Big Friday Five. You know what's happening this weekend?
Oh, savings time.
Daylight saving time.
Yes.
And
yes.
Talking about the significance of the passage of time.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
we get it. It's about time.
Do you like the daylight saving time?
I don't care about that right now. All I care about is what's our countdown look like with, you know, songs with time in the title. Because I'm looking at the list right now, and I can't believe what's number one. And I can't believe what's two and something's messed up with it. It's time for our Friday Five. It's a countdown we do every Friday.
Here we go.
This week, songs with time in the title. If you want to get in early, the number's 210-619-2053, and we'll kick it off next right here.
Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. It's time for a countdown. We do it every Friday. It starts like this.
The countdown is on.
You know what this means?
It's our favorite time of the week.
Anybody wants to get mellow, you can get the f*** out of here, all right?
The Friday Five.
It will test your head and your mind and your brain.
On the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
Friday Five, do it every Friday. Take a little break from news. And do a countdown. Have some fun. And you know what this weekend is? Springing back.
Daylight saving forward. Time.
Spring forward, not back.
Oh, yeah, fall back.
Fall back, spring forward.
You are fake news.
I am fake news. I apologize for it.
Hey, the guy on the radio said we were springing back.
Sorry. But this countdown is really good. These songs with time in the title. And we go by how big a hit was the song or how iconic was it. And then we rank test of time scores. And then we put our own personal like score on each one, rank it together, and then we come up with our five. And, I mean, it's hard to argue with any song in the top five. They're all, you know, deserving. I think you could argue what placement some of them are.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's not to call anybody individually out for omitting certain songs from the five, but I think it will all be revealed as we go through it. Are you okay over there?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Just get a little nervous heartbeat there?
No, just bones in my water.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Don't even say it, David. Let's just get to the first call.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. First up, Billy in Portland. Hey, Billy.
What's up?
Billy.
Hey, Billy.
How's it going, fellas?
Going great, man. Good. Great to hear from you.
Hey, I was thinking when you made the guffaw over falling forward, all I could think of was Robin's falling forward when he was drinking.
Yeah.
How do you know what I was doing when I was drinking?
I put the video out on social media a week ago.
I always fall forward when I'm drinking. So
yeah, usually I fell back, though. That was a problem.
Oh, I've done that, too.
Yeah, okay, good. Good.
All right. I was all set for a song with lights in it, and then you threw me for a curveball, so I had to go with Time by Pink Floyd.
Dude, what an iconic song.
Number three. Picking away the moments that make up a dull day.
If it's not my favorite Pink Floyd song, I would say it's in the top three. Is it in your top three, David? Because you're a big Pink Floyd fan.
And yeah, well, in terms of just a well-crafted song musically and lyrically, this is a great song.
It is.
Then, yeah, I think this would be. It's an iconic song, definitely a test of timer. I love this song. Yeah, I think it should have been higher than number three, honestly.
I did have this at number two. Now, it made everybody's five, right?
No.
No.
What?
It did not.
What
didn't make mine. No.
How come?
Not a fan of the song.
Okay. As you've said before, you can't argue taste.
No, you can't.
I think it's because the line "hanging on in quiet desperation" cuts a little too deep.
Oh my
God! I swear to you.
Oh, the guitar solo too, man.
Yeah.
Freaky. The tone. Okay, I know we got to move on. We got a lot of songs to get. Who's
I didn't
next?
Smoke bushel baskets full of weed every weekend either. So
that's true. Rough. That is true.
Does it just rock too hard?
Just move on, will you?
All right. Let's talk to Mark.
I get ganged up on this show all the time. We need a fourth guy on this show. That's what we need.
Let's talk to Mark in Portland. Hey, Mark.
Gentlemen, been enjoying the show all week.
Oh, thanks, Mark. Appreciate that.
Hey, I've got a Jim Croce classic, Time in a Bottle.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, yep. Man. Yeah.
I could save time in a bottle. First thing that I'd like
I've told this story on the air before. I don't know if I should do it again.
Is to save every day till eternity passes away.
This was played at your mom's funeral.
It was not, but it was my mom and dad's song.
That's
and they were always looking forward to retirement. And they were talking about this song. And, yeah, she passed before retirement. Yeah. Thanks for picking it, Scott.
It's also a great wedding song, funeral song at all occasions. Bar mitzvahs, grand openings. I mean, it's perfect for everything.
You know what, man? It is a great song. It really is. And, it just makes me sad to hear it. That's why it's like, golly. It's tough.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
But I know you did have that in your five.
I did.
Yes. Okay, who's next?
Let's talk to CD in Roanoke, Virginia.
Hey, boys, you guys are great. I love you, but you really shouldn't ask your neighbor to go to a Cyndi Lauper concert unless you get permission from the grandparents. Time after time.
If you're
lost, you can look and you will find me. You played this a lot, Scott.
Yes.
Did you ever see Cyndi Lauper live in concert?
Did not.
Okay. I know we've talked about this before. You know, sometimes you can like a song, and then the artist, for whatever reason, they get too political or they say a bunch of nonsense you don't like, and then you can't hear it the same way. That's where I'm at with that song.
Yeah,
I used to really like it.
Of all the Cyndi Lauper songs I played, that was probably my favorite.
Yeah. Not Shebop?
I played Shebop. I played Girls Just Want to Have Fun. I played that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. True Colors.
I played True Colors.
That's still in your workout.
That's when I want to get pumped up.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Who's next?
I feel bad because I love that song.
Yeah. Did it make your five?
No.
True Colors is a great song.
Yeah. Sure. Like you said, you can't work your taste.
Well, David likes it too.
I do. I like it a lot. I like that song a lot.
That's good, man. Yeah. You guys should go to an art museum sometime and hold hands.
Maybe we will.
Together. That would be awesome.
Or we'll sachet.
Well, we need to wait until pumpkin spice latte season. And we'll do that. We'll get a couple of PSLs and hold hands
at
that.
I'll bring mine.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Let's talk to Dave in Portland. Hey, Dave.
Morning, MVCR. I'm going to go with Love Me Two Times by The Doors.
You know what? I was just talking about this song yesterday. And yes, definitely honorable mention on Love Me Two Times. Shout out to my old friend Rob Seligman, who did some classic rock radio. And I thought he had a great line coming out of it. Definitely written by a man under the age of 30. The Doors Love Me Two Times.
Wow.
Nice one, Seligman. That's good. Yes. Nowhere near your five, though, even though you're a Doors fan, David.
I'm not even really much of a Doors fan. I like when they're good, they're great. I really like it. That's not my favorite Doors song, though.
You know, one of the things I like bringing up the Doors on the show is Robbins making fun of the Doors and some of the lyrical nonsense of Jim Morrison.
There was a lot.
Okay, what is your line?
I whipped the horse's eyes and made him laugh. And made him cry.
Whatever the hell that means. It's the Friday Five Countdown we do every Friday. This week, songs with time in the title. We have number three, but we're still looking for 1, 2, 4, and 5. And who's next?
We got Mary in Delaware. Hey, Mary.
Hey, guys. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Mary. You're on a roll.
A lot of number ones recently.
What are you thinking today?
All right, let's do it. All right, I'm going to go with Too Much Time on My Hands by Styx.
Well played.
Number 5. Too much time on my
hands, taking away with my sanity. Got one of the five. Anytime you get one of the five, that's success for sure. Tough to get number one. I think it's really tough to get number one today.
Yeah.
That was a big hit.
Oh, yeah.
And what'd you guys give that for Test of Time out of 10?
I think I gave that an 8. I think it's played a lot on classic
rock. 7 or 8, yeah.
And classic hits.
Yeah, still pretty big. Yes. Okay, who's next?
Let's see. Let's talk to another Mary in Panama City Beach, Florida. Hey, Mary.
Hey, guys. I got through 2 weeks in a row.
All right, Mary. Yep. Way to get through there. Is your brother listening?
The stars have a line.
Yes.
Yeah, he is. He sure is. We're checking back and forth. His guesses, my guesses. And I hope this one makes your top five. By the way, great show this week. Thanks for sorting all this madness out, you guys, and making us laugh. Much needed humor.
Oh, I appreciate that. It's kind of you.
How about Good Times, Bad Times? Zeppelin?
Zeppelin.
You know what, Mary? You're awesome. I certainly had it in my five. But I think I was the only one, right?
Yeah. I love this song.
I like the song.
I mean, iconic. It's way up there, man. And when I was, I mean, it's been a while, but doing rock radio and classic rock radio, that was always played. You tell me it doesn't get played anymore?
To me, I can't.
Who's running those places?
I don't remember the last time that I heard that song.
Yeah, me either.
Played on the radio.
Oh, right. That's a bunch of wanks. They should be playing that.
Oh, I agree. I love that song.
Yes, dude. Good call, Mary.
Classic rock that really rocks needs to make a comeback.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, there's plenty of classic rock that doesn't rock out there.
Yeah.
Hear that. Okay.
That's a unique format, too.
Yes, it is. Okay, we got to reset. We're still looking for 1, 2, and 4.
Wow.
Songs with time in the title. Again, the number is 210-619-2053. 210-619-2053. And we'll wrap up the Friday Five next. Show, Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. All right, got a news update in less than 15 minutes, and then the Scott Robbins trifecta, his top three of the day. But first, we got to finish up the Friday Five, songs with time in the title. Spring ahead this weekend.
That's right.
That's what it is. What? That's a Robbins favorite right there.
I didn't pick that.
You have in the past. I was surprised you didn't have it again this time.
It was a big hit, number one record.
Yeah, Bill Medley and Jennifer Warnes. I've had the time of my life, but that didn't make the top five. Pink Floyd, Time was number three. Sticks, Too Much Time in My Hands, number five. We're looking for 1, 2, and 4, and back to it, David.
Well, let's talk to Ed in Oregon.
Hey, Ed.
Yep. Hi.
Hey, Ed.
What you thinking, buddy?
Well, I'm thinking Mick and the Boys. Time is on our side.
Dude. I had that in my five. Good call. I'm the only one that had that in my five. I still love that song. Why did you roll your eyes, Scott?
I didn't. I like the Stones.
David, you saw it.
A little bit, yeah.
Why'd you roll your eyes? That's fine.
Yeah, I'm...
Okay.
Doesn't rock hard enough for me.
All right, who's next?
Let's talk to Flip in Peoria. Hey, Flip.
What's up, fellas? Great show. Listen, last time I made it to the top five, called in with the same artist to make my mom proud and David happy. It's Cher, Turn Back Time.
Flip, way to go, buddy. Yes, it's true. David has seen her live.
I have. It was a magical evening as well. She is a great performer.
Weren't you married to her for like 10 days?
You know what? I didn't remember that, but then you showed me the wedding photos. You DJ'd the wedding.
Yeah, I did.
Totally forgot.
My goodness.
We shared doing the chicken dance.
Oh, goodness.
I was right after the almond guy. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
I'm feeling very sad at the moment right now. I don't know how else to say it.
So sad.
Yes, yes. Agreed. Okay, who's next?
Let's talk to Brian in Oregon. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. Aloha Friday.
Aloha, Brian.
Hey, yeah, I would like to dedicate this to Hunter Biden. This is what he wished he could look like in drag while yelling like the QAnon shaman. All he had to do was a jump to the left, a step to the right, put his hands on his hips, bring his knees in tight. Let's do the time warp again.
Yes. Not quite the top five. Pretty iconic, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Got to give it that. All right. Still looking for 4, 2, and 1.
Yeah. Let's talk to Woody in Vancouver. Hey, Woody.
Hey, guys. Love your show. You need to hire me into the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins marketing department because y'all just inspired me into coming up with your new two-word advertising slogan.
Love it.
What
do you got?
They're brainwashing you, bro.
There you go.
I like it.
Yep. My song, Rush, Time Stands Still.
Yeah, great song.
Oh, man. Biggest Rush fan on the show, but not representing there.
Wasn't a big hit. It's not a test of timer at all. So, but I love it.
Yeah, a lot of times, I would say our favorite songs don't make the top five. Sometimes they do, but not all the time. Yeah. Like one of yours, I know you would have loved to have had on there. the way you used to do that synchronized dancing at clubs, Scott?
Yeah, I was quite the clubber in the 90s.
All right, who's next?
Let's talk to John in Connecticut. Hey, John.
Hey, happy Friday.
Happy Friday, John.
I really thought I would be over. Hey, I thought I would be over it by now. I mean, it's been close to 6 months since Robin's deprived me of my lifelong dream of a walk-off when I had Boston's peace of mind. So maybe today's the day to get me past that hump.
Yes.
Let's go with Boston. Foreplay. Well, long time.
I can tell you this. That was my number one. David, where did you have it?
That was my number one.
All right. It's all set up for us. Roll it.
Number two.
What? What?
It's iconic. It's epic. It's a test of timer. I never tire of this song. I love this song. Okay. Where did Scott, where did you have it on your list?
I didn't have it on my list.
You didn't have it in the top five.
Honorable mention. Yeah.
Wow, man. Okay.
If Scott
so I guess we
had
just got to roll them
it's
now.
It's Tom Scholz's
huh?
74th birthday yeah. today, by the way.
All right. Our number four.
Number four.
Okay. Foreigner. And number one.
Number two.
Well, no, not two. What's number one?
Number one.
Scott, you didn't have Poison on the last time we did this, and you voted for it high.
I like this song.
Wow.
It's just fun to me.
Wow. This it is the Markley Van Camp and Robin show. Wow. So we had to wrap it up right there because of time. Holy smokes, man. I'm surprised by that.
You like it?
It's a fun song.
It is
I've
a
always
great,
ranked
fun
it
song.
In the top five.
Yeah, it's a good song.
But I didn't have it in the top two.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well.
Where did you have it, David?
I had it. Three.
I had it at three.
Yeah.
So then how does it get to one? Oh, because Robbins didn't have Pink Floyd or Boston.
Yeah. If Robbins had, well, the Pink Floyd thing, I don't think would have mattered mathematically,
okay.
But by not having Boston in the top five, Poison, even though no one had it at number one individually, Poison got lifted up to number
wow.
one.
Wow. Okay.
Scott?
I like Poison. I'll take the kick if you want me to, but...
All right. News update and the Robin's Trifecta next, right here. Robin Show. Thank you so much for being here. Jamie Markley. I'm the Gen Xer, the Millennial David Van Camp, and the Sexy Boomer Scott Robbins. Robbins Trifecta coming up in a few. News update, David Van Camp.
I think this is a big deal because, you know, we're talking so much in the United States about gender affirming care for kids, which is really just code for radical, unproven, untested. Hormone therapy for children, and then castration and double mastectomies for healthy young girls. Well,
it's awful.
Now there's a fourth European country that is saying, yeah, we got to take a step back from the brink. This is in Norway. The Norwegian Healthcare Investigation Board has deemed that puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and surgery for children and young people is now experimental. That's how they've classified it. Basically, what that means is that there's much greater scrutiny and oversight of it, and probably does pave the way for an all-out ban. Because they looked at the data and said, wait a minute, there is no data that back up that this is helpful to anybody.
No.
This is not good. We need to really take a step back here. This follows what the UK, I believe, and there are some other UK, Sweden, Finland. And now Norway, but like in England and Sweden and Finland, they explicitly call out the group of young adults whose development is still ongoing and saying, hey, wait a minute, this could be really damaging to them. Norway is saying, look, this needs to be pulled back.
Well, if you just play the percentages,
yeah.
80% grow out of it.
That's a generous estimate. I mean, that's a more conservative.
I've heard it over 90. I've heard it over 90, but the latest stats I saw, at least 80%.
Yeah.
And so to actually say this is the best thing, the gender-affirming care.
Yeah.
And I mean, and when you have the president out saying that.
To parents of transgender children, affirming your child's identity is one of the most powerful things you can do to keep them safe and healthy.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Man. Just lying to people. Yeah. And then you're trying to figure out, and I know you're getting into mind reading, but why are they doing that? Do they really think this is going to be helping kids? Because I understand, you know, from a liberal perspective, sometimes critical thought's not put into it. It's just going on feeling. Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like it would help them. Well, critically think about it and look at the evidence. It doesn't. And for some of, you know, for some of these countries, they're looking at all these lawsuits. Holy crap. We can't keep doing this.
Yeah.
That's what happened in the UK.
Yeah.
That's why they shut it down.
Well,
now we're just starting to scratch the surface of the lawsuits.
Oh, definitely. I mean, this will be a big deal in the next 10 years or so
no doubt.
In the United States, because they're ruining a lot of people's lives by just pushing this and pushing it and saying, we know this, it's science-based, and it's really not science-based. It's a guess. And a lot of this comes out of academia, where people really don't experience the real world, and there's this groupthink that happens, and it gets pushed out into medical practitioners with extremely questionable ethics, who just do this because they think, well, you know, this is just how this needs to roll. And
well, some people have this financial stake in it.
Oh, definitely,
because you can make a ton of money off of it. And then you have another group of doctors that know better, but they have to follow the rules of their organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just going to take brave people to be willing to risk their careers to stand up and say, we can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
This is insanity.
Well, and I know this isn't an exact one-to-one comparison, so don't read into it too much. I'm just talking about the general idea of a group of people pushing something and people cowering down. Being afraid to be called out, called different names. It reminds me of that piece that came out a few months ago about in post-war Germany. The government decided to go with this program that had been talked about and developed in academia that paired up foster children or kids without or orphans with pedophiles.
Yeah.
And the thinking was, in academia, the thinking was, well, they're not going to hurt the children because they could be in love with the children. And there were so many lawmakers in Germany, because World War II had not been that long ago, who were so afraid of being called Nazis, anti-science, fascists. Does that sound familiar?
Of course it
does.
That they
just sort of looked the other way. When it comes to a program that's obviously on its face problematic, to say the least.
Well said, man.
Jeez.
All right, Robbins, you ready for your big
three?
Yeah,
let's roll, man.
Okay, let's do it.
Are you ready?
One, two.
It's the three most important news stories of the day.
I hit the trifecta.
Well, at least according to Scott Robbins. It's the trifecta on the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
Every day at this time, the Scott Robbins trifecta, his top three stories of the day. Always helped by his hero.
I'm Casey Kasem.
Hey, buddy. Coming over this weekend?
Yes.
All right.
I'm ready.
Bring the pizza.
Three.
Number three, the president of Mexico, Andrés Manuel López Obrador.
Thank you, David.
He is, threatening to put out an information campaign to get Republicans to not be elected. He's supposedly going to be pushing out some sort of message to Mexicans living in America to not vote for Republicans, because he's been out of shape over Republicans talking about Mexico's role in the fentanyl crisis.
This is unbelievable. He's got a word for us.
What?
Basically, fentanyl is your problem, not our problem. Despite the evidence, the Mexican president says his country does not produce or consume fentanyl. He said that's your problem in the U.S.
See, count the cartel. cartels in there.
Now, it's interesting because the Mexican government had previously acknowledged that fentanyl is, in fact, produced at labs in Mexico using some of the chemicals they get from China.
Yes.
Fentanyl, by the way, is blamed for 70,000 deaths a year here in the U.S. He said, here, we do not produce fentanyl, and we do not consume fentanyl. The United States take care of their problems of social decay, not ours. Now, he knows which side his bread is buttered on here, too, doesn't he?
Of course.
I mean, the cartel's operations certainly give him more money than the U.S. ever could or would in any sort of trade deal or partnership.
Yep.
So he's going to say now that not only do they not send it here, they don't produce it there. They really don't even know what fentanyl is.
I don't know if he means their government or their companies. He can't be talking about the cartels.
He's got to protect the cartels.
Of course.
We're getting closer and closer to number one.
Slimy.
Scott Robbins trifecta.
Two.
Man.
This is a wild story. An 81-year-old survived a week stuck in snow.
Golly. How about this, huh? It's been nearly a week since the 81-year-old left his home in Big Pine, California, taking a drive back to his wife in Nevada. He hasn't arrived. 6 days. He's a former NASA employee, by the way. He was rescued from the snow. He said he survived on biscotti and a couple of croissants. The whole thing is a miracle, his grandson said. It's hard to think a man his age could do so much with his life, create such a legacy, and then get trapped in a car and die. See, that's what I'm afraid of. This is the type of stuff.
That you would die, that you wouldn't survive like the 81-year-old?
You try to do everything right, and some freak snow accident kills you.
Well, that's life, man.
Guy's probably, you know, not eating beef, and he's exercised daily, and he's not drinking or smoking. This is how you go. Good thing he had a biscotti and some croissants with him. Apparently, he's going to be okay.
That's good. It's a good news story.
Yeah, I like the story a lot. He's 81.
It's odd that you like the story a lot, yet your own fear comes out of it. This is how I don't want to go.
Well, I just hope that, you know, I'm kind of like him. That's why I never leave home with croissants.
And the countdown continues.
Always in my pocket, sir.
The Scott Robbins trifecta, yeah. Top three of the day, up to number
one.
Number one, you're telling me that genital preferences are hateful.
This is a crazy story.
What?
There's a debate that's been going on Twitter within the LGBTQ community. The debate involves the lesbian and gay members who are resisting the tendencies of queer theory, an ideology advanced in higher education to present conflicting, even regressive messages about the ability to find love in same-sex relationships. I've seen a huge surge, one said, and I am now anti-trans because someone told me I wasn't allowed to have a genital preference. The subject, of course, comes up with the transgender. When a cisgender person does not want to date or is not attracted to transgender men or women, they are transphobic.
Yes, we've actually heard that for a while.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm a gay guy. I don't want to date a dude who was a woman. I have a problem with that. I'm transphobic.
You're transphobic.
Yeah.
That's right. That's why I think we've said it many times. You just take the label on. Okay, fine. Then I'm transphobic. So right. What?
That's why we need some law that
forces 98% of the public.
Trans people, yes. Every third date has to be with somebody trans, or we throw you in jail.
Dude, you know, we talked about it before, and of course the left's not going to talk about it very much. There's a huge battle going on with the alphabet group.
I agree.
Well, they keep tacking numbers and symbols and letters on the whole thing. And I mean, it's like, to me, I think saying LGBTQ 2S plus blah blah all that nonsense that they add on to it is an insult to the gay people I've known in my life, because they're not freak shows like a lot of the people. It's LGB freak show, honestly.
Yes, and everything is revolving around that part of their identity,
right?
Like that has to be their entire identity. Yeah. And you have to be with the group and go along with whatever the group says. And so then you get into the trans stuff, and then you get into, yeah, well, we got to be in there teaching, you know, five-year-olds. And you have, you know, gay men and women across the country going, whoa, 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 whoa. Who said that? No, I'm not a part of that.
Well, it's also we're in conflict with women's rights groups.
Yes.
Now, when you're starting to erase womanhood.
Oh, my gosh.
And give awards, women, traditionally going to women, always going to women, to men who think they're women.
Yes.
you either have to accept it 100% or you're a transphobe.
Right.
So these gay dudes are going, hey, man, I'm not dating that person. No.
Yes.
And there you have it.
Scott Robbins, trifecta. Top three every day. Okay. News update. And Nimrod's in the news. Straight ahead. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Yeah. See ya.
Thank you.
Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. News update, David Van Camp.
So this happened about a little less than 2 weeks ago. But now we're getting some more details of it, including footage of this. It was in Washington County, Oregon. A guy by the name of, Eddie Villalobos was standing trial for murder, the suspected murderer.
Okay.
Well, as you can see in the courtroom footage, he's standing up ahead of the trial beginning. The guy just books it. He jumps over a chair, runs out the courtroom, out through an employee exit, flees the courthouse. Right?
Yeah.
They found him a couple hours later in a Hillsboro apartment. He was trying to break into somebody else's apartment, and so they found him, luckily, and he's back in custody. Now, the question is, how exactly was this guy, who's an accused murderer, facing a slew of other felony charges, why was he able to just, like, jump out and, like, leave the courtroom like that? Well, because in the state of Oregon, you have to remove the shackles of the accused.
That's right.
When they go into the courtroom.
That's right.
No handcuffs. No leg restraints, no nothing.
Wow.
Because equity.
Did you hear?
Equity.
Did you hear they found him in that apartment in a closet with a blanket over him? He pulled a blanket over him. Can't see me.
My gosh, man. You know, it just reminds me. I saw this thing. It was just, you know, a little lifestyle story about states and the popular nicknames that couples give each other in these states, like more than other states. And I saw it like in Washington and Oregon, cutie is the nickname most people use. If you're looking at, say, Illinois, Ohio, North Carolina, it's shorty. I've never heard that before.
Shorty?
A nickname that couples would give each other?
Huh.
Have you ever heard that? Shorty?
No.
David?
No.
Okay. Baby daddy is used the most in Georgia, Michigan, Tennessee, Texas, and West Virginia. It's a cute little name for each other.
But couples call each other this?
Yeah. And then there's Bay and Boo and Sweetie.
Where's Jerky Ruined My Life? Is that on there anywhere?
No, hubby is. Okay. Wifey.
Ah.
Baby girl. Sugar daddy. All that. What's one of your favorites, Scott? Just want to know. People want to know.
Honey? Sweetie? I don't know.
So you could go 80s hard rock and just shorten it to hun. And then with the H-O... N, you put the two dots above the O.
Oh, there. Thank you for that.
So you just learned something. Let's get to
When the going gets tough.
Damn it, this is too hard.
The dumb get dumber.
All right, Dan.
It's Nimrod's in the News on the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
I love the poorly educated.
All right. Nimrod's in the News. You know the history of Nimrod's. We've seen some pretty disgusting things that people do to other people, sometimes neighbors, go back and forth, and sometimes it can get violent. There's something about this particular story that's especially offensive to me, and maybe it's just me, you tell me. This is in Australia. It was 6 months, people didn't know where it was coming from. This guy would vomit down onto his neighbor's balconies.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
What is that? Just like some, I've heard of passive aggressive, but I'm going to go out and stick my finger down my throat and vomit on purpose onto your balcony. And done it repeatedly over 6 months. They finally just caught the guy.
Jeez. How'd they catch you?
Yeah, in the story, it doesn't say.
Because in Spinal Tap, you can't dust for vomit.
You know, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Until right now. Okay. Oh, and Beetlejuice 2, I guess, is going to be happening. Lori Lightfoot's got to do something.
Okay, there you go.
And that's Nimrod's in the news.